Hi, I'm Nick Rigoretti, and this is the Jiu-Jitsu Brotherhood Podcast, the show for grapplers and martial artists that want to evolve both on and off the mat. Hello, good people. Welcome to episode 38 of the Jiu-Jitsu Brotherhood Show. And before we get into the interview with someone I consider to be a truly inspiring human being, Mr. Jason Keaton, also known as Blind Fury, I'd just like to remind you guys that my new online jiu-jitsu gym is now open, and it is called the Master Academy. If you haven't yet checked it out, please head over to jiu-jitsumasteracademy.com and use the code podcast, and you'll get 10% off any of the membership options. You know, a lot of people contact me and ask if they can train with me or where they can come train with me. And this is the answer. If you want to feel like you have me as your jiu-jitsu instructor or your own private coach, the Master Academy is the ideal thing for you. I've poured all of my jiu-jitsu wisdom and my teaching ability and my teaching gifts into this to make it the best possible product I can and to provide you guys with as much value as I can. So I highly recommend you go check out the Jiu-Jitsu Master Academy at jiu-jitsumasteracademy.com. Also, guys, you can get 10% off any of our cool jiu-jitsu apparel at store.jiu-jitsubrotherhood.com. Again, just use the coupon code podcast. And finally, if you are interested in trying CBD and you're in the UK, head on over to Truth Naturals and use the code JJBTruth and you'll get 10 quid off any of their fantastic CBD products. Please support the show by leaving a review on iTunes as well. And I hope you enjoy the interview coming up with Jason Keaton. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Jiu-Jitsu Brotherhood Show. I am here with a gentleman named Jason Keaton, who has the nickname of Blind Fury, which you'll very soon find out why. And he is in Columbus, Georgia. Jason, thank you so much for agreeing to come on the show. I'm very happy to have you on. How are you doing today?
Yeah, thank you for having me on too. It's a great honor to be on this podcast with you.
That's cool. So Jason, I know that you are obviously someone who has been stereotyped your whole life. And I don't want that to be the only thing we discuss, and I don't want this podcast to stereotype you, but I guess we just have to get it out the way. You are, it's my understanding, you're legally blind, is that correct?
That's right, that's correct.
Okay, and you have still, despite that, or some might even argue because of that, managed to become a third degree jiu-jitsu black belt, which is...
Yes, that's right. Yeah, and it's definitely okay to talk about it. Because I did like a documentary with one of my friends, and you know, I don't like talking about it usually too much, but he convinced me to discuss it because it's not really about me. You know, there might be somebody that's listening that has a disability or something that's kind of holding them back from devoting themselves or even getting started in jiu-jitsu. And you know, I'm just, you know, my disability, you know, that's, you know, I don't mind discussing it because maybe that gives them hope or gives them a chance, you know, a thought that maybe they can do it too. And that's what I don't mind discussing it at all.
That's great, dude. That's very cool of you. Very cool of you. So would you just give us a little bit more background? So it's maybe if you just tell me about how you came to have this disability. Is it congenital or was it an illness? And then how that led you to your martial arts career.
Okay. Well, I was born with bad vision. So I actually attended a school for the blind in Kentucky. So I've never had good vision ever. And actually it was worse when I was young.
Wow.
So, okay. So when I went to the school for the blind, I went when I was 4 years old. And, you know, there's not a lot of sports blind people can play. I mean, we're not, you know, they used to, at the turn of the century, they had a football team, like American football, but when the passing game took off, I mean, it kind of killed the blind school's football chance.
Imagine, yeah.
We had track, we had swimming, and we had wrestling. So at a young age, you get to start wrestling, and that's kind of what actually started my martial art kind of journey, if you will. So I wrestled, and I was never awesome at wrestling. I was okay. you know, I had moments where I did well and whatever. But when I got to be about 14, I wanted to get into martial arts, and I started, you know, doing some different stuff. And I went to like Wing Chun and Taekwondo and all this stuff, but none of them seemed to fit me. None of them seemed to fit me correctly. So I was training with a Kung Fu guy, and he was teaching me, like, showed me some basic arm bars and chokes and stuff. And yeah, I mean, I was like, man, this is for me. This is what I should be doing. So I found some guys that did some Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and that's kind of how I got going.
And who are these guys that you found, and how did they react to you? How were they able to teach you? Did they just treat you like any other student, or what was the way that came about?
Well, the first guy actually that I took any lessons with, I went to a place in Lexington, and I got to train with some guys. And I went back later to train with them. But there's a guy named Scott Smith out of Louisville, Kentucky, that he gave me some lessons. Like I did some one-on-one lessons with him. And I think I did about 5 or 6 with Scott. And it really, you know, he just treated me like everybody else, you know. So, you know, and, you know, he was really encouraging. He was like, man, you know, you got to stick with this. You could do it. You could be a black belt someday. And I was like, okay. So I did that. And then I went to Kentucky at the University of Kentucky in Lexington. And I went to a school called Four Seasons. And those guys, they definitely treated me like, you know, they never even mentioned my disability. I mean, if we had tough roles or whatever, nobody took it easy on me. And at the time, you know, we were doing like Valley Kudo type stuff. definitely nobody took it easy on me in those sessions. So
that's wild.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know it's been my own experience. I don't do it that much anymore, but when I started training, I used to do a lot of sparring with my eyes closed, and I know for certain that improved my ability and helped me learn very quickly. And it's something I recommend to all students. I mean, the theory is that when you take away vision, then the body's proprioception is forced to improve to compensate proprioception and kinesthetic awareness. So I guess it's difficult for you to answer this question because you don't have the reference point of what it's like to have vision or perfect vision. So I wanted to know, like, in your opinion, that has that helped you in a way? Because it's my understanding that grappling would be perfectly suited to someone with your particular disability.
Yes, for sure. And, you know, it is kind of, you know, I definitely, it's something when you're doing grappling and jiu-jitsu that it is, you know, it is good to close your eyes because it's so much more about feel than it is about vision, you know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think when people, you know, they rely so heavily on seeing that they miss the feel of jiu-jitsu sometimes. So that drill where, yeah, you close your eyes and roll and do it or put the blindfolds on or whatever is, you know, that is a really important, I think, in jiu-jitsu, especially if you don't understand how something feels, you know, because there's so much, as you know, there's so much in jiu-jitsu that it might look a certain way, but it doesn't feel the same way. So you have to kind of shut that.
That's so true. I read something many years ago. This coach was explaining how you use the vertical and horizontal lines in the gym. So the edges of the corners of rooms and like posters and just where you look for any vertical horizontal edges, and then you use those to get your balance. And the problem is with grappling, that's cool for when you're walking around, but it's not exactly the same for grappling when you might be balancing on one foot or inverted or upside down and so that doesn't necessarily serve you when you're grappling, which I thought was quite interesting. What do you think? I have to ask this question, but what do you think your biggest disadvantage is when it comes to a grappler with regular vision? Like, obviously you can't see, at the start of a match, you can't see what they're doing.
That's right. So sometimes, especially I'm fortunate because I get to work for the United States Army. And I get lots of great wrestlers come through here. Mm-hmm. So I wrestle my whole life, but I do way better when I tie up. If I have a guy that's like really good and tricky, like really good taking shots at a distance, that can be a problem for me. So I always have a stance or position to where I can, if they, you know, basically if my eyes were closed and they shot a single leg on me, where I could catch an underhook. So if I'm standing in my wrestling stance, I have my left foot forward, I have my left hand on the inside of my leg, you know, and if they grab me, I always am able to get the underhook. And I like to play butterfly guard, and I do the kind of the same thing. So I keep everything in really tight, almost at like a my feet crossed. That way, if my feet are out there and they're real fast and tricky, they're not able to scoop me up and kind of beat me to it. If they get in close enough, I can get my grip. Basically, I got to have that connection. Like the sooner the better, you know. So yeah, if I, you know, so that's the biggest disadvantage, is just kind of getting faked out at a distance, or, you know, so that's always always been a problem.
That makes sense. Now, I read your bio earlier, and it's my understanding you fought in an MMA match. Is that correct?
Yes, I used to a long time ago. Has been now, but I used to.
And these MMA matches were against regular sided opponents?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
And how did you, like, I can't really wrap my head around that. So you're standing across from your opponent. Did you have to give him some kind of, or did he have to give you some kind of handicap, or?
Nope. He'd come over and try to punch my face just like everybody else, you know, because some people, they wouldn't even know until they were in the match with me. And, like sometimes the lights would be so bright. I'm really light sensitive. So I just have to keep my hands up really tight and just kind of really press forward. And, you know, definitely, yeah, they definitely didn't. No, they were trying to take my head off usually.
So how many of these matches did you win and how many did you lose?
Well, I had a bunch of amateur ones. And I did pretty well amateur. And then I had a couple pro. I mean, I was over 500 basically for sure. So,
okay.
So, I mean, they only show up on Sherdog. When I was doing some of this stuff, like, it was like a lot of shows that were kind of one and done around the time. So, you know, so I'd go fight here and there and, you know, just kind of, I don't know how many I did actually.
I want to ask, like, when you lost, how was there a general pattern to why you would lose, or was there a general way that it would keep happening?
The general pattern wasn't physical though. It was actually more my mental outlook. So if I noticed when I lost, if I won a match, it was, you know, at the time I didn't really understand my own psychology as well as I do now and what it takes for me to win. So at the time when I lost any match, I mean, jiu-jitsu or MMA, I could definitely feel like my life was out of balance. Like my personal life wasn't good. You know, I couldn't focus, all that stuff. That was the real pattern. It wasn't really anything physical. You know, I mean, I've been TKO'd and I've even been submitted, you know, so it wasn't really anything about the actual way I lost. It was more about my mental outlook. I would say it was real, probably a negative mental outlook versus a positive mental outlook. So if I had a positive mental outlook, you know, even if I lost, I had a good match, a good fight, you know, but with a negative outlook, that's definitely when I lost or things were going bad and I didn't know how to recover properly from that. That's kind of when I lost. So that really, actually all those losses kind of helped, guide me to a way where I was like, why am I losing? Why do I feel real negative when I'm losing? And when I'm winning, I feel, you know, what's going on here? What's happening in my life? Because it's not physically, I should be the same person, but it wasn't, you know, mentally, that's always kind of been my real disability was kind of my negative thinking.
And was there,
as opposed to my actual visual.
Is there any sort of common element to these negative times in your life, like a common cause, or was it all just random life events?
Yeah, I would say it was just general stuff. Like, I remember, like one time, like probably about 10 years ago, I was a brown belt, and you know, I was in good shape, but my brother and my dad died 6 months apart to the day. Yeah, so it was, you know, I was like, ah, man, you know, I already signed up for these tournaments. I'm gonna go. You know, surely I'll do okay. And man, I didn't do well. You know, I some tough guys, but I mean, I was losing to blue belts, and I was just like, what am I doing? You know, what is even going on here? You know, so I was like, ugh, this is just, you know, it was just too much going on. And then when I lost my MMA fights, I don't know, it was just like during school, and like when I was at the university, and I was, studying hard. I was in a tough program, trying to be a nurse, and or something in the medical field. And you know, some of the classes were extremely difficult. And then trying to train and you know, worry about finals and this and that. And that's when I tended to do worse. So just kind of the outside stress of it. I didn't have enough sense, honestly, to say, well, now's not the time to compete. Now's the time to deal with this. You know, I was trying to do everything on top of it. So I would say that was sort of the negative portions there for me there. You know, obviously it'd probably affect anyone, but you know, yeah, that's just something I had to learn the hard way.
So was there, you know, first of all, Jason, I just have to tell you that, and I know you've been told this many, many times, but I really respect this path that you've walked. That it takes, I mean, I can't even imagine the what you've been up against and managed to overcome to become any sort of level of grappler, let alone a third degree black belt with the handicap that you've had is unbelievable. I really respect that so much.
Thank you.
So what I'm really interested in, Jason, I'll just relate third hand a story to you that was in a book I read many years ago. So this gentleman, he ran a school that had both regular boys. It was a boys' school. This was in the 1940s. It had regular boys in it and boys with disabilities. And he said that the boys who had the disabilities, when something would happen to them, say, for example, a young man lost his leg on a railroad incident or something like that, he had come to the school, and initially he'd be incredibly distraught and withdrawn. And then eventually he would become happier than the average normal boy. And he said he saw this pattern keep repeating itself over and over again. And I'm just wondering, is this something that you believe about yourself, that you are happier than the average person because of this disability, and it's forced you to not take anything in life for granted and to really.
Yeah. I think for me, I mean, I think what with me was I'm so stubborn that I really don't have, like, as far as anything, I don't feel like I'm like super talented or anything, but I feel like I just work so hard, you know? So, and I think that's probably the case with a lot of my friends that I know that have visual impairment or another disability, because you know, you have to work harder than somebody with good vision anyway. Okay, so if I have friends that are totally blind and they're like PhDs or got master's degrees, well, they don't read as fast as somebody that has good vision. So if they're reading or listening to books, they're doing a lot more work. And then I think for me to get to where I'm at now in my life, when I am happy, I'm really happy. You know, my life is going so good. But I think it's taken a lot of work. I do think though that, yeah, I don't take things for granted for sure. Like, you know, cause I know, you know, that, yeah, I mean, I got some vision, you know, I don't have, you know, I'm not completely blind. I do have some vision. Mm-hmm. There's, yeah, just, I think I understand it. And I think also I got a chance to, teach at Walter Reed before, which is the military hospital, and I got to work with some of the guys that had lost a leg in war or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they almost always developed a real positive attitude because they had to. So I think with the disability that, you know, you're already a step behind. So your attitude definitely plays a factor into it. Mm-hmm. So
my friend Chris said something to me the other day. He said his grandmother always used to give him, she always used to say something specific to him, which was, I used to feel bad that I had no shoes until I met a man without feet. And yeah, that was a gut punch to me. And it got me, I mean, one of my main things in life is gratitude and to try to express and feel as much gratitude as possible. And I do really notice that life is better when you look at it in that way, or when you approach it in that way. So
I just want to say again how much I admire what you've accomplished, Jason. I would thoroughly enjoy meeting you and training with you one day. I can imagine you must have some incredible perspectives on jiu-jitsu.
I love jiu-jitsu. I'm sure like everybody's listening to this. I mean, they love it. You love it. But it's really given me a great opportunity. And I think when you have a disability like visual impairment or blindness or really anything, I mean, it could be an emotional disability like PTSD or depression or whatever, jiu-jitsu is going to be able to help you overcome it. And I don't think that there's another martial art or any activity that can compare when it comes to helping somebody better than jiu-jitsu.
So what are your plans for the future, Jason?
Well, I kind of don't really compete anymore. I've had a lot of surgeries in the last couple of years. I'm actually at home recovering from a surgery currently. So I had a growth removed off my leg, and unfortunately the wound got infected. So I've spent the last 6 weeks just kind of dealing with this. But my real plans for the future is to kind of keep training, man. Keep learning jiu-jitsu. I've been teaching a lot of seminars here lately, and this year I've got like 12 or 14 seminars. I've already gone through some of them, but scheduled. And my real goal is to kind of get to train with some people that I've been wanting to train with. And my understanding is you personally are coming to Georgia soon, so I'll probably try to come up and link with you. And so you're one of the guys on my list that I plan on hopefully get to train with soon.
Well, you're one of the guys on my list, my brother. So we'll both have to connect and share some of the magic. But I just want to thank you for taking the time to come and share with us a little bit about your, I was going to say your struggles, but I think the correct way to put it would be to say you've shared with us a little bit about your
Yeah,
triumphs. Your triumphs is a
I think
better
so
way.
for sure.
If people want to find out about you and Blind Fury Jiu-Jitsu, where should they go online?
Well, you can find me on, of course, like on Facebook, but my website is www.jiu-jitsu-columbus.com. But yeah, and I do have, I'm on Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff too, but the web page is the best way to kind of get a hold of me.
Okay, great, Jason. Well, a thousand blessings on you and your much success in your continued journey with jiu-jitsu and life.
All right, you too, Nick.
Okay.
Hopefully we'll see each other soon.
What a fantastic story and what an amazing man. I'm not the I don't have any physical issues. Everything works properly, and yet I still find myself making excuses like I'm not as athletic as person X or person Y. And listening to Jason and what he's had to overcome to become a jiu-jitsu black belt is just staggering, and it puts everything into perspective to me. And if for want of a better phrase, it's really helped me to see things more clearly. So thank you so much, Jason, for your wisdom and your perseverance and your passion for the art. A thousand blessings on you, my brother. Okay, guys, until next week, peace out.